But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip
weird.
On, it's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that, that isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Okay, and that sound must be it's Thursday, and we're here at Ballistic Summit 2025 talking to Bishop Ammunition and Firearms. I've got Marissa Bishop and Donnie Blackwood with me. I guess let's start out with, we just completed day one of Ballistic Summit. How did things go for you?
Chaotic.
Chaotic. As it should.
Okay. Good.
No, we...
Mission accomplished.
We had the 458 SOCOM Hammer and Hunter, the two different 458 SOCOM rifles that we make out on display with people shooting them. We had our new 6.5 Creedmoor, which just performed beautifully.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It shot really well.
Oh, wow.
I was impressed. Thank you. I'm not impressed easy by rifles. That one impressed me.
Well, wait till we get it in the Mark II action. Okay. Well, we have two different actions, a Mark I that is made for us by a company in Oregon, and then a Mark II, which is made by Pristine out of Canada. And the Mark II, it basically feels like it's on roller bearings. We shot it all day long, probably put about 500 rounds of 458 SOCOM through this bolt action rifle, and it feels like it wasn't shot at all. And it just seemed to get more accurate as we shot it. It was ridiculous. We had the DMR, which is a rifle that Donnie can talk about. That's his brainchild. I just wrote the checks for it. We had the Bannock in three variations, but they were prototype rifles that we literally finished the day before we got here. And we were more or less flushing out issues that we had with it at the show. Trying to think, what else did we have? That's pretty much it.
Well, and we were kind of discussing this a little bit earlier. I mean, you guys were really kind of bringing prototypes to this show, and that's kind of the unique thing about this is a lot of companies they're bringing things that are still in development to this event because they're still flushing out the gremlins before SHOT Show and things like that. But from a writer's perspective, I mean, I know from a manufacturer's perspective, you're like, oh, man, it needs to work perfectly. But if you look at it from a media perspective, we get to put hands on prototypes that aren't like nobody else even knows exists yet. That's kind of a cool thing.
Oh, we also had the M16A1S.
Yes.
Our M16 clone that we are right now don't have a force reset trigger in. But we have plans of offering it with a three-position force reset trigger, so it will be virtually identical to an original M16A1.
So for everybody listening out there that may or may not know Bishop Ammunition and Firearms, you're clearly more than just an assembler. You are a custom builder, but you don't do big box type volumes. No. How do you get your hands on a Bishop? Is it I come to you with an idea of something I want, or is there a catalog I can search that you guys already have builds in place, or how does that process work?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for the products we had here today, and we'll be shooting again tomorrow, they are available on our website, bishopammunition.com, and we basically will take the rifle, and if you tell us that, let's say, I would like it to be able to do this, we will customize the rifle specifically for you and build it for you. The only difference being the Bannock, you can have the Bannock in any color you want so long as it's black, like the old Ford Model T.
I love it.
but we can do Cerakote of any color. The 6.5 Creedmoor Ultra Match that you were shooting today, that is a special combination that we do that is basically lemon zest with the FX green.
It is a cool color.
And it changes color because it's a pearl.
Mm-hmm.
And we do stuff like that all the time. It's like, well, it can't be done. Why not?
So but back up a little bit. So the items on your website, they are one-offs, or are they made in a nice stock of small, you know, exclusive quantities, or are they made to order?
They're both made to order and in small quantities. The Bannock is actually a regular production rifle.
Okay.
It's just that we made some changes to it coming here that we had to flush out. So every time you change something on a rifle, like add a side charging system to it that you're not used to, that totally changes the gun and you have to figure those problems out.
Sure.
But the Bannock itself is a production rifle, and that was something that Donnie got me to do.
Okay.
The 458 SOCOM bolt action, the Hunter, we've been making that since 2019 in one form or another.
Now, is that the one that we were shooting at 600 today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were shooting at the Coyote at 600 yards with 458 SOCOM, and if it was alive, it wouldn't be right now.
No. neither would the rest of the pack.
Yeah, there's a lot of hitting going on at that distance. It was kind of impressive to watch. So, Bishop, where is your focus? You do a lot of the big bore stuff. I've seen that from you. Impressive stuff that nobody else is touching and doing. You've entered into some of the common calibers, contract configurations. What's the focus? Where's your passion?
We're trying to get into the more mainstream. We are still making some of our unique one-off calibers that we do. We're working on contracts for the brass for that, even here at the summit. And we have no intentions of not making the monster cartridges that we do. But we're wanting to get more into the mainstream to where if you want a $950 or an entry-level AR-15, but we guarantee you submitted accuracy. And that is where Donnie, you know, he's the blood of that. And we're wanting to have it to where we can have 10, 15, 20 at a time available. You call up and say, hey, I would like one of these, or I want 10 for my store. We'll deliver them.
Right. So, Donnie, tell me about the DMR.
So, DMR was actually one of those exact contracts that came about where we are trying to expand into getting to a more production series rifle where we can actually pump out, you know, 10, 15, 20 at a time. We are still kind of small numbers. It's just two guys building guns in the back, mainly between me and Chris, and I've kind of taken over that. Well, he's moved into the manager role, so he can actually run a lot of the, you know, upfront things that are going on. So that being said, that led us into getting a phone call one day from a SWAT team. We'll leave them unnamed so they can, you know, stay
safe.
Yeah. We won't dox the SWAT team out there, but you know, they ended up calling us up, getting up a contract with us, and their main request was, you know, we need a rifle that can perform within these specific parameters, meaning we've got to use 162 grain Sierra Match King. That was what their ammo allotment was, and that was what we had to work with. So then the challenge just became dialing in a rifle that could outperform, you know, some other big name companies out there that were entering into this contract. Best numbers they could put up were 1.5 MOA. So we looked at that and we're like, we could do that in our sleep.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's pretty solid for a gas gun, for a battle rifle idea. That's not a bad number to ask for. A lot of us in our market, we see those numbers and we're like, oh my God, that's terrible. But, you know, thinking about what most rifles are willing to do, those aren't numbers to scoff at. It's just things that a small town manufacturer with people who are passionate about shooting and stuff like that is that becomes easy to beat. So once you've got the performance dialed in, all it is just making a rifle that ergonomically is going to perform up to what a, you know, tactical shooter would enjoy or be comfortable with, or, you know, have to carry over certain, you know, distances, things like that. You know, a tool that you're going to spend a lot of very intimate time with is going to be something that you want to be comfortable, going to be, you know, able to put yourself into the best versions of your shooting capabilities possible. And that was really where we ended up, you know, coming up with, okay, I want to use these specific parts to do this job to the best of its capabilities, which led to us using the Gibbs side charging handle so that you don't have to take your face or your fingers off the optics or off the trigger system. You could still run and operate the gun while cycling whatever jamming issues you may have, or, you know, refeeding the firearm, all that good stuff. And then we ended up going with the Luth AR palm handguard, just because shooting from cover, a bag, things like that, it's really easy to auto level a gun out when your handguard is sitting flat on the bottom of it.
No, and I'm hearing you talk about the guns, and it hallmarks in my head that form follows function. You know, you get the gun to perform first, and then you build all the creature comforts and expectations into how it operates. And you've chosen some really kind of high-end components to put into this thing, and you're going up against higher-end brands and outperforming them.
Absolutely.
Well, it's like the barrel and the DMR and the rest of the pretty much all of the firearms we have the EV5 match grade barrels in them. So a $950 AR-15's got an EV5 match grade barrel in it.
All right.
With polyagonal rifling. We're able to get what groups out of brand new barrels with off-the-shelf PMC ammo?
The Bannock right now is boasting 3/4 inch groups out of a, or 3/4 inch.
Yeah.
So that's impressive.
Yeah, it's PMC off the shelf, 62 grain. We were shooting that in the middle of January when we were testing that. I was the shooter freezing my ass off. So,
yeah, and that's right. Quite literally right. The first 5 rounds ever through that barrel. The DMR does the same thing. We got the groups down on the DMR to 1/2 inch.
Yep, we got that one down. That was a 5-round group, not a 10-round group. So not quite as numerically impressive with the consistency over 10 rounds, but 5-round groups I will still take at a 1/2-inch circle on a paper at 100 yards every day.
Well, and we talk about groupings. The industry's adopted the 3-round group as, hey, look at me.
Right.
Right? All of us that shoot know that the 5-round group really proves out the monkey.
Yep.
You can separate the operator error from mechanical function. A 10-round group, at some point, you're just showing off at that point. Right? There's nothing wrong with that if you're showcasing performance and consistency. Mm-hmm. But the 5-round group really should become the hallmark of what the equipment is capable of with a specific operator behind it.
Right. And that kind of goes back to Donnie's point about, you know, these guys are talking about 1.5-inch group. I see all over in the industry these guarantees of we're 1/2 minute, we're 3/4 minute, we're whatever, whatever. None of these take into account the shooter. And I think that somehow needs to be expressed somewhere. Like, you know, if you're doing your job, the gun will do this.
Well, I will tell you that we worked with a bolt rifle manufacturer, Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
Huge OEM barrel maker. Chances are, if you've shot a production rifle in the past 25 years, you've shot a Shaw barrel one way or another.
Yep.
When they would get a challenge on their accuracy guarantee of sub-minute. And that's all that they really promised is be sub-minute.
And that's reasonable.
It's reasonable.
Yeah.
They would take that rifle back. They would take it to the range and shoot it. If it produced sub-minute, they then contacted the customer and had him pay for the shipping for it to return. Because there is a need for some dumbass tax,
right,
of wasting somebody's time.
Well, and that's the other thing too. As a shooter, you know, you buy a rifle. It is incumbent upon you to, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to purchase 5 different types of ammo to shoot through this gun. Figure out what it likes, because rifles they get kind of picky about their ammo.
Right.
You'll find one that they just shoot absolutely perfectly every time.
I have 5 match grade student rifles, all in 6.5 Creedmoor. the barrels were cut consecutively off the same line,
mm-hmm.
they all like something different from ammo perspective.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of what we do with every gun is it does not leave our facility. We don't sit there and put like one round in and make it go bang and say it works.
Right.
No, we take the firearm to the range and we put it through real world testing conditions. Donnie's been in there at 9 degrees. I've been at 9 below zero testing rifles in the middle of December to deliver a 6.5 Creedmoor hunting rifle to someone.
Right.
And it wasn't getting the grouping I want at 9 below zero. We brought it back. Donnie and I, Trump figured out what the issue was, took it back. We got the grouping we wanted and we delivered the gun. We do that all the time, whether it's a $3,000 custom hunting rifle or a $900 AR-15 and everything in between.
I wish more people in the industry would do that, though. The fact of the matter is it's your name on the side of that receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And to take that level of pride and commitment to make sure that the rifle performs as you say it should, the industry's lost a big chunk of that.
Yeah,
I'd like the fact that I'm hearing we're getting back that direction.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I machine the lowers on every one of our AR-style rifles, and my name goes on it. My serial number goes on that, and my reputation rests on it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't work as perfect as we could say they can, they don't leave the shop.
So let me talk to you real briefly about accessories. You know, if I, you know, I buy a rifle from you and I want some certain accessory, whatever, you have the machining capabilities, even if it doesn't exist. I you know, I've seen you and I've talked to you about some of these things before. You'll make that happen.
Oh yeah.
And you will make sure that it works with the gun.
Yeah. Well, one of the guns that we have is called Exodus. We didn't bring it here. A customer's rifle that we have currently on the shelf in 10 millimeter, we're having a feeding issue. You know, so I have to figure out, and Donnie and I are working on it, to figure out what the problem is before it's delivered. It has to run flawlessly with Glock magazines. But I designed the barrel on that. I designed the compensator on that. I cut the lower receiver. We're also the only pistol cartridge AR company that uses a side charger. We used a Gibbs side charger on that, and I get it the 10 millimeter run it. Last year we had it out here, and you saw me, I was putting lead on steel at 580 yards on the silhouettes that mm-hmm. we'll shoot at tomorrow.
For a PCC, it was incredibly accurate. Incredibly accurate.
Oh, and it's insanely fun to shoot. It's just absolutely crazy. But no, it's just like I have a bracket for that rifle that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Right.
And it allows you to take any regular AR-15 pistol grip and use it as a forward grip. So you don't have to buy someone's idea of their forward grip or how you should be holding the rifle with a front forward grip. You can have one that's exactly the same as your pistol grip or something completely different as long as it will mount like a regular pistol grip on an AR-15.
Right.
And we're the only one that has that bracket. And I designed it in the shop. And I spent, what, a good 50 hours working the design out on that before we got it down right?
I think so. Yeah, I was roughly in that time frame.
And
so,
we are licensed now by MLOC for it.
There's conversations like that go on in the shop all the time where it's a hold my beer moment idea that pops up. Where so hop up on our program and stuff. Like we're even working on a few kind of upgrade ideas to integrate into the DMR where we're kind of taking an approach to much how like the Steyr-AUG system works where it has that slight cutout in the side of the magwell. Mm-hmm. So that you can reload and operate a magazine from the prone position. And there's just conversations like that that take place all the time in the shop because you're filled in a position and a place full of people that are passionate about the industry and actually, you know, putting their money where their mouth is.
I've already done the G-code on that. I just haven't cut it yet.
Well, and when I was in your shop, you were showing me it was a 3D printed block out for long action magazines to fit, you know, weird calibers. And that was absolute genius because it solves so many problems that we have with using a long action magazine with like, say, a 6.5 PRC that doesn't quite meet the length of that magazine.
It's defined as a long action, but it actually runs in a short action quite nicely.
It does. And because you have, you're forced to use those long action magazines, you have all kinds of play and slop, and you end up with all kinds of feeding issues because of it. You solved that.
Yeah, that idea came out of the 458 SOCOM bolt action. Mm-hmm. And that, again, the 458 bolt action that you guys all shot today was technically a rifle that can't exist, because everyone says the 458 SOCOM will not feed through a magazine in a Remington style action.
Right.
Well, you just did it.
Yeah, okay. Just fine.
I'll tell you right now, hey guys, everybody's wrong. I shot that gun today. It feeds just fine.
Well, and this is what I love about Bishop. You hit the nail on the head earlier. Everybody says it can't be done, and your attitude is, why not?
Well, yeah, it really will become a hold my beer moment, and Donnie's seen my eyes light up on this. Mm-hmm. Well, it can't be done. Why not? Just tell me why.
So that there it is. That's what fuels you.
Well, it's like
being told you can't do something.
You know, it's like the hunter. You know, people say, well, it's going to jam. You know, I've challenged you and you've been unable to do it,
mm-hmm.
to actually jam the rifle.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I've taken the rifle, held it upside down with the ejection port pointing to the ground, and chambered a 458 SOCOM from the magazine, and it won't jam.
It feeds.
Yeah.
It feeds great.
You know, but we have another project that we're working on. We just got our SOT.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't know if I'd let too much out of the bag on this platform with that, other than the fact that it's going to be a very quiet moment in the world.
Uh-huh.
I will say this. It will be the only suppressor that has a length of 8 inches with the effective length of about 12.
We're talking about suppressors still, yeah?
Hmm? Yeah, it's got a very unique baffle system design in it.
I'm excited. I'm excited because I got one from Bilson this year. Now I got to see that. Now I can't wait to get one from Bishop.
Now I will tell you, the Bilson that you've got, it's overbuilt.
Extremely.
It's heavy and it's. Not as quiet as I would expect it to be.
Well,
there's a tone, though.
But here's the thing. We put a decibel meter on it, and it is every bit as quiet as a .22 suppressor. But it's the tone. There's a pitch to it.
That's right. My Thunder Beast produces relatively the same level of decibel reduction.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lower tone to my Thunder Beast, and it's perceived as quieter.
Yes.
Out on decibel meter, they're identical.
Yeah.
Well, I'll pose a question to you like this. What would you think of a suppressor you can actually tune it to the caliber on the gun?
That opens up a whole new bag of discussion.
That's all we're going to say is you can tune the suppressor to the gun and the cartridge.
I want the very first serial numbered production model.
Oh, my gosh. Get your wallet out, pal.
Oh, I'm done.
Serialized number one?
Well, I doubt it's going to be number one. I'm saying full production. So I'm guessing serial number 20-ish.
I don't know. When are you going to start this production?
Well, we were working with a 3D printer to print the baffle assemblies, and it's not monolithic. It's actually assemblies because there's multiple of them. But the amount of money they want to do the 12 prototypes that we need in order to have a working model for the patent is obscene.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's because the CNC machining on it is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So the only possible way it could be done would be with 3D printing, using sintering technology.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We tried doing regular 3D printing with supports, and it took me 3 hours to cut out the supports, and I said, this is not going to work, even for the prototype. But I have a friend that I know that can make me my prototypes out of resin.
We can play with it in resin. Just we have to understand that a current resin technology has a limitation on pressures. You'll want to test this on the rimfire world first, and then you can scale up with other materials.
Now you're taking all my fun out.
Well, but we'll start someplace that you can, so it can be manufactured. Then we'll take it to other fun places.
All right.
Deal.
Well, look, I got to take a break real quick. And then we'll be right back. And I have a very, very important question to ask you.
If you haven't tried 10th Mountain Whiskey, can you even call yourself a shooter? Okay, Mr. AK guy that only drinks vodka. 10th Mountain has that too. Still too much? Maybe that cordial would suit your unrefined palate. But for you real pipe hitters out there, the single malt can't be beat. Whiskey is an acquired taste. And if you don't like whiskey, I suggest you acquire some taste. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. It's whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations, using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target, under budget.
All right, so here's my question. Your new suppressor design, is it serviceable?
Completely.
Awesome.
It actually comes apart, let's see, if you don't count the brake that it comes with three different brakes. There's cap, spacer, front cap. There are 10 pieces to the suppressor.
Beautiful.
And it completely breaks down into individual pieces. So you can strip it down into its individual components to clean it.
Right. Because anybody that says, oh, you don't have to clean a suppressor because things are moving, traveling through it so fast that they don't. Bullshit.
We've shot too much to understand that
well,
is bullshit.
Well, the suppressor is also going to be full auto rated.
All right.
The outside is going to be made out of carbon steel, Cerakoted.
Okay.
The inside is going to be stainless steel.
Beautiful.
So you're not going to get any of the erosion like you would have with titanium. And I've had people say, well, a carbon steel suppressor is going to be heavy. I say, yeah.
Yeah.
And titanium is going to retain heat. It's going to glow like the sun by the time you're done shooting it. Mm-hmm. Because titanium does not disperse heat. It's like when you machine it, I don't care how much flood coolant you give it, you have to turn it down to 150 RPM, period.
Right.
If you don't, it's not a question of if you will weld your tool to the material, but how quickly you will weld your tool.
Oh, hey, well, and we found this out when he was trying to thread a titanium brake onto a steel barrel, and just the act of threading it on
got hot.
It welded itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it started to get a little gritty in its thread process, and then it made it kind of a popping ting sound. And it seized. So I called the guys that made it and said, okay, so this has happened. What do I do next? And he goes, well, we're going to cut the barrel off because you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I discovered this in the machining of the firing pins that we have. We actually do AR-15 titanium firing pins for the cooks that think that the fastest lock time that they can get. They don't realize it doesn't really help.
No.
But we do make them. We also do titanium takedown pins. They're on all of our guns. You guys experienced those today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The castle nut is titanium. The pistol grip screw is even titanium. On the professional gun that we have, it's not been sunsetted, but we're not really pushing it. 2/3 of the rifle's titanium. It weighs under 6 pounds, but it's got a 20-inch barrel, and I can cut staples at 100 yards with regular 62-grain ammo. Oh,
wow.
Nice.
Oh, man. I'm envisioning prairie dogs.
Tell you what, I'll bring it next year. It's a very, like it's actually mist. The first AR-15 I ever made.
Well, I got to find it interesting. I've sat here for a few minutes and listened to the engineering genius, but then I watched her count on her fingers while she was trying to add up components. You're an enigma sometimes, lady.
Why? My question is, what I do now?
Oh, it was just you know the engineering, you know the math, you know the pressures and performance of every little component that you've got, and then we ask a simple question of how many parts are in your new suppressor coming out, And you almost took your shoes off to count.
I didn't even ask how many parts. I just asked if you could take it apart.
I know. And then she wanted to rattle down the numbers of parts. I'm watching this genius at work, and then she has to count on her fingers. It just cracks me up.
Oh, you ought to see me when I get out a slide, you know, a pair of calipers and stuff.
Well, okay. You have a lot in common because I watch you do things optical engineering and you start using words and things that just I glaze over, and then I watch you try and text or send an email. Siri. And I mean it is like watching fucking Grover.
Hey, I got the same problem.
Hey, note to Siri, it's never duck, okay?
But I do have let's see, I've got my other laptop, and I have a separate monitor. If you want, I can bring up Fusion 360 and show you the project.
Hmm.
It has all the files on it.
Hmm.
That would be cool.
We may want to look at that.
Yeah.
That's going to be kind of cool.
I'd show you guys design specs of what I've been up to and stuff, but it's mostly written in crayons, so...
I could understand
so
that.
You were a Marine.
You're the person I get crayons
for
Christmas.
How is it that you actually have crayons to draw with?
They're chewed on, so and that's just how I keep them.
It's not a full compotion. It's just kind of a.
I'm a man of who likes to savor.
You're a snacker.
Yeah. So I'll take a little nibbles over time to keep them sharp.
Okay.
That way.
We got a Bishop Ammunition and Firearms patch.
Awesome.
And those are what we usually give out at SHOT Show. Well, we were going to go to SHOT Show. We have canceled for reasons we discussed. And we were going to be giving out these. It's basically a stainless steel flask that was engraved in my shop with the new fiber laser that we have. So we're now capable of doing 3D engraving in anything.
Okay. Yeah. I have some stuff I need to send you then.
No, the fiber laser is incredible.
Yes. Yes. I have some things that need that level of laser to get engraved.
Mm-hmm. And we're coming out with our own challenge coin for veterans of each of the different services. I've got the design nailed down for the Marine Corps, and it's basically the emblem of each service, but on the back it's a veteran walking away.
Interesting. I want to see that art too.
What? But no, we're going to be offering those, and I don't know if I'm just going to give them away or sell them.
Interesting.
Do both.
There are people who deserve one given
yes.
to.
Yes.
And there are definitely people who deserve to pay for one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So do both.
Do both.
Yeah, they're going to be 40 millimeters in diameter, 3 millimeters thick, and they'll come in the hard plastic cases.
Oh, wow.
And they'll have the reed edge, you know, with the vertical lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of just waiting for them to be delivered.
Fun.
I swear to God, that seems to be our whole problem, like, this entire year. I'm just waiting for it to be delivered.
No, it's like we, some of the guns that we have, we ordered the barrels 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, where's my barrel? I need this, like, we're going to the summit. I need this barrel, you know.
Yesterday, so, please.
Yeah, the day before we leave, the barrels showed up.
Oh, that's usually how things go. We were picking up stuff the day we left.
I was at the range the entire morning before we drove down here. So we hit Fort Collins, Colorado on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. All the way up till noon, I was at the range. I didn't leave Pocatello till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We were assembling and test firing and stuff because we literally, some of the Bannocks that we brought to the show, they are so fresh, hot off the assembly line that it was less than 48 hours ago we finished up that project.
Sure.
And it does seem like, so you guys are kind of seeming like you're experiencing the same things we are across the board in the industry where, you know, shipments of parts are getting held up and you know, manufacturing isn't quite up to snuff or, you know, things seem to be showing up out of spec. What are some of your guys' opinions on what's causing that kind of stuff?
I think there's been a catastrophic perfect storm of circumstances, and it's supply chain based. And you say what you want, through COVID, our supply chain was disrupted to an incredible degree. There was a lot of folks that went away. The folks that were agents rather than actually manufacturers found somebody else that maybe not up to the reputation of the previous folks and tried to pass them off as the same. There's a lot of shenanigans going on in the freight world. We've seen several things go from label created to delivered with nothing in the middle.
Yeah.
And when you're counting on it and you're trying to get down the road and take it with you, that's hard to do. For me, if I say I'm going to show up with something, I'm going to show up with that something, or I'm not showing up, and there'll be a reason why. There's a lot of manufacturers that don't have that integrity either. And they're willing to, oh, yeah, so sorry, it didn't happen. Do you still want it?
I still want it.
Yeah, I still want it. I wanted it yesterday.
Yeah, why are you even asking?
Why are we having this conversation? But I think there are a lot of new players in the market. I think there's a lot of old players that are trying to pass off substandard stuff to try and fill the gaps in their supply chain. I am choosing to move forward and do business with the ones that have integrity and I can trust.
Well, it's like what happened to Bishop is when COVID hit, all of a sudden the supplier that we had, I had our lower receivers made for us by another company under contract. I call them up and say, hey, I need 30 more lower receivers. Well, I'm sorry, we're not taking any more orders. Oh, what am I going to do? We don't know.
Did they give a reason why?
Within 2 weeks, I bought a CNC milling machine. I was learning G-code. And I've been doing that ever since. So 3 weeks ago, they call us up and say, hey, we're taking new orders. Are you interested? I say, really? You want to buy my CNC back from me? And that's how I got into cutting our own lower receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
the old adage, if you want it done right, do it yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. You know, it just absolutely blew my mind. It's like, you totally blew us off when we needed the help the most, and now you're contacting me saying you want us to come back.
What's your incentive? Why would you go back to that? You can't trust it ever again. Convenience?
I don't know if I could.
Right. And see, that's where I'm at with a lot of my suppliers as well. I could go back in a heartbeat, but I could place a $50,000 order for lenses, but am I going to get them? Can I trust it?
Right.
And time and money being linked, my word and integrity being tied to time and money, if I can't trust it, I'm not going to start it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm at the point to where it'll take me a half hour to cut one lower, the pocket and the pins. Everyone starts from a forged receiver.
Sure.
Everyone buys the same forgings from everyone. But I know that if I take it, I know I've taken the zeros, the X, and the Y. I mean, in the Z, and I know it's dead dots on.
Right.
And if there's a problem with it, I don't have to call up and say, hey, I got a defective lower receiver. What do I need to do? RMA, you're going to send it back. 3 weeks later, I get a replacement. No, I let it make meet Mr. Vice, crush it, and make another one.
She is like my spirit animal right now.
I know. And all I can envision is that scene in Casino where they're crushing the guy's head.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's incredible.
You failed.
Now, I got this huge vise in the shop, where we're building the guns, but where we do the machining at another location. Mm-hmm. This vise must weigh about 100 pounds. Huge Astros. I take this thing and I put it, the magwell in there, and I just sit there and turn the handle. You watch it go squish. As it crushes you.
It's therapy.
It is.
it's the pressure all goes away right. from you when you do
you
that.
You failed me, and now you must die.
No, part of the story she's not telling either is where she sets up all the other questionable parts. Right? Lot. Set the watch. Example. Yeah. This is what you get if you don't do what I want.
And they all behave. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm going to start doing that with my builds. Mm-hmm. That oh.
It's very satisfying.
That stupid dust cover spring.
I just need to show you how to do that.
I know how to do it, but I swear to God, it takes me 10 minutes, and the rest of the build takes me another 10 minutes.
Whoever designed the spring for dust covers should be taken outside and beaten with a stupid stick.
Yeah.
It's the worst design thing I've ever seen in my life.
So I don't know if anybody's been paying attention or not, but I don't think Marissa Bishop can design a better dust cover spring.
I'm sure what?
I'll take that bet. I'm in agreement. I don't think you can design a better dust cover spring.
I could design a better system.
Right. I don't know. I'm going to go completely skeptical until you show me something.
Well, you were talking about the new laws that are in for batteries with those 2032 Sierra batteries.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cap. And I'm sitting there thinking, you got to do this, you got to have that, you got to torque it down on stuff. And I'm thinking, well, why not have it to where you can just have a little section that comes up and then you push it from the side with a tool, which causes it to pivot down, and then when you get the cap closed, you remove the tool and it comes up and locks the cap in place.
You could. The only thing you'd have to make sure is that stayed waterproof.
Yeah. Well, no, that's like I'm out there sitting. Well, you're telling me this. My brain's going, why, yep, not, exactly why right. not do this?
Why not? Yeah,
but don't deflect. We're focused on dust cover springs. So I honestly don't think you can do it.
You guys are going to get her to have an entirely new AR upper receiver up here next year.
And that's right. I'll hold your beer.
You guys just made my job very, very Western.
You are welcome. This is what we do here.
If you do come up with one, I'd love to see it.
I got kind of an idea of how it could be improved.
And it's begun.
There it is. Donnie,
it would be a variation.
Honestly, I'm not going to be upset with this one because I have the same issue.
You heard it here first, y'all.
I sit and twist that little fucker, and then it.
You wait. Next year, she'll have a new system for the dust covers.
Oh, and I'm looking forward to my suppressor. So, before we get out of here, your impression of Ballistic Summit this year? This is your second year here.
I'm exhausted.
And it's only Friday.
We shot close to 400 rounds of 458 SOCOM through both the Hammer, which is the AR-15 458 SOCOM, and the bolt action. Majority of the rounds went through the bolt action. I'm not looking forward to cleaning that. I don't envy you, Donnie.
It's all right. I got it. We got true blue for that.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I think this is great. We've had a lot more people than we did last year. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be even more successful than it was last year.
There's a lot of content.
I'm taking you up on your challenge on hitting the white buffalo with a 458 SOCOM at 1,136 yards.
You can get that done. Yeah. I have full confidence that's happening.
You realize it's a 400 grain bullet at 1,500 feet per second. It's
I'm totally in the know. I've also sat and watched a 4-inch barreled 9mm pistol manage it.
Okay, you're on.
I mean, only took us 5 years, but
it got done.
It got done. That might be the thing this year. Everybody pays in for five rounds. Three. Do it with the 458.
It's 458, so come three rounds.
Three rounds. All right, I'm in.
We may have a surprise, though, for you next year.
Okay.
You know, because we're still making ammunition. We still do the 45 Colt, 45 Auto, 9mm, 357. We don't do 44 or 41 Mag. We make 38-55 both in a hunting and a cowboy round. And in the 45 Colt we do is a cowboy action round. That is a perfect PowerPoint. Looks like jewelry by the time we're done. And we also do a standard loading of 950 feet per second. So I have on my showroom floor an 1862 Gatling gun.
Chambered in what?
Hmm?
What's it chambered in?
45-60 or 45 Colt, and I'm going to bring the chambers in 45 Colt.
More economical to shoot, I understand
that. Oh, yeah, by far.
Yep. But it's a Gatling gun. It'll be fun either way.
We did have a rifle here last year. We didn't shoot it because it had a SHOT Show firing pin in.
Yep.
We've sunsetted the lever action in 458 SOCOM that we've done because Ruger Marlin made too many changes to the rifle itself. I can't spend 4 weeks making one rifle.
Right.
So we are coming out with another lever action.
All right.
In 458 SOCOM. And it's going to look identical to an 1876.
Okay. That'll be fun. That'll be way fun.
I'm excited. We're going to have to, we're going to definitely be keeping a closer eye on Bishop.
Absolutely.
And the cool thing is, like, we don't live that far away. We might have to go make a field trip now and then.
Oh, just let me know. We'll take you over to 2.5 mile range, known as Oregon Trail of Gate City Shooting Association.
All right.
It's a private club that we sell memberships for at the store. We don't get any of the money. It goes to the range. They have the ability to shooting out to 300 yards over a large self-controlled range. Then they also have individual shooting bays and a cowboy action section. And you can actually find them on the internet. They have cameras that show what's going on in the different bays. And you can even look up the weather in Pocatello, Idaho from it.
I'll be damned. All right.
So, yeah, if you guys are ever going through Pocatello, make a stop. It is well worth it. Their shop is cool. You walk in and you get to see this Gatling gun on full display. It's awesome. And for more information, give us the website one more time.
For the firearms company, bishopammunition.com.
There you go.
And the gun store is?
Bishop's Gun Barn.
Bishop's
Gun Barn. Just look up Bishop's Gun Barn or Bishop Ammunition. It'll come up.
But it's
and
awesome.
Donnie's OnlyFans page?
Nope. Not on that one yet.
It's still under development.
We'll see what happens.
Now, what we do need to do is update some of the pricing. I have the current price list here of the guns that we make. We have to update it because, like, we reduced the price on the M16A1S.
There you go.
It brought it down from $1,500 to $1,150, and it is an exact duplicate of the Colt 603, which was the last M16A1.
Music to my ears.
Neat.
So, thank you guys for coming. Thank you for being on the show. And we are really looking forward to what you have to come.
Looking forward to next year.
It's going to be fun.
All right. So until next week, what are we going to blame today? I mean, I got nothing. Everything worked.
Yeah, that's a harder one. And I guess until next week, you blame Biden.
Well, communism. Communism's always good.
Okay, cool. Let's play communism.
I like that.
Yeah, that works.